Hi, everybody. My name is Jimmy Carroll. I'm the Vice President of Operations at Tech B2B Marketing. I'm here at SPIE Photonics West 2024. I have the pleasure of being joined by Doug Earlman at Balmer and my colleague, John Lewis. Doug, thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you asking me to speak today.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Doug, for those who don't know, could you tell us a little bit about Balmer and what you guys are excited about today?
Well, Balmer is a half a billion euro a year company that is a Swiss-based company that manufactures sensors, encoders, a lot of very leading-edge sensing things, IO-Link. And I work specifically for the division, which is based in Germany, and they manufacture industrial cameras that are used in all kinds of applications. I've been with Balmer 16 years, and they brought me here on board then to get sales started with cameras. And we've been pretty successful so far. And I love selling the product because I always tell people, we make good stuff, doesn't break.
Fair enough.
I think in 16 years, I think I've had three failures of cameras.
You don't hear it a lot from people out of their mouths directly, but like, having products that don't break is obviously a very nice thing to have.
When you're really manufacturing, downtime is really costly.
Well, it's not only costly, but on the front end, on the sales side, you're just doing nothing but damage control, which really is not a way to run a business. All right, but so I really appreciate that. And Balmer itself has kept up. We keep coming out with the newer. We were one of the first camera companies to come out with gigabit Ethernet, which has been the standard since 2005. Mm-hmm. And now we've got cameras that are 10 gig, 5 gig interfaces, fiber. And so wherever there's good machine vision applications, our cameras will fit in.
That's great.
And
yeah, there's a lot of hype, hot topics in the industrial automation and manufacturing space, and then one of them is AI. It seems like everyone who's into machine vision and imaging and even robotics these days are really touting the AI aspect of their products. And I'm wondering, what's Balmer's approach to embracing the AI trend?
Well, we've just come out with a fairly new product about a year ago, and see, we make hardware, and AI is really on the software side of things. Sure. But we came out with a camera that is an NVIDIA-based camera. So you get a 5-megapixel image sensor feeding into an Xavier NVIDIA module, and you can load your software to do the AI. Mm-hmm. One of the applications that I've seen, there's a lot of them, but I have a customer that is he's one of our best customers. He sells into the wood business and into lumber.
Yep.
And how they make these the paper that they get from lumber is that they grind a lot of the excess wood down to chips, and it's on a conveyor about this wide, but the conveyor is like this. But it's filled to the top, and they're using AI to try and figure out, are the chips too big in here? Because otherwise it'll make the slurry a big problem. You'll get failures when you get these big wide paper rolls about as wide as a table going across, at, I don't know what speed, very fast. And if they have a tear because they didn't read the slurry correctly, then the plant is shut down for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And plant managers, they get real excited about that, not in a good way. That's just one of the applications that I've seen. It's fascinating to see how they use this camera to figure out how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. And I kind of want to ask, there's a few things that you brought up there that I want to ask about, but one of them is some of these applications. And that's an interesting one, right? Because for so long, Doug, I'm sure you were at, or at least your team, but you probably were there too, I think it was Stuttgart, maybe around 2016.
Yeah, I was there.
When, you know, that's when like the hype cycle really begun for specifically the subset of deep learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people just coming out and saying deep learning is going to solve all your problems. You kind of even see that today with some companies just throwing the words AI out there or robotics incorporate AI. What does that mean? But now, like these types of applications, you're seeing that these AI-based, because AI on itself is, you know, as David Deco would say, it's not really, AI doesn't really exist, but AI-based software exists and these tools exist that can augment existing machine vision tools and work together instead of replacing, because
right.
It's not going to replace traditional machine vision, but it's going to help it in different ways. And that's a really cool one because, you know, some of the more common ones you hear, maybe OCR or things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or in a welding inspection, but... To that end, right, what are some other examples of applications where you're seeing your customers or people in the industry that you know deploying AI-based tools or smart cameras or whatever?
Well, it really comes down to that they a lot of customers want to move towards what they call edge computing.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do the calculations, failure, barcode reading, whatever, right at the location they're making the inspection. And this helps them out in so many different ways. I mean, if you look at the overall cost of a system, let's say you have 32 cameras on a line and it's doing all these different inspections, and you have to run the software in the main computer, which is about, you know, 80 meters away, to do that kind of computing power for 32 cameras, you need three big Dell servers at least, and these servers, you know, they're $15,000 a pop, so that's $45,000 right there. So when you do the calculations of doing the edge computing, and the only thing that's sent back is we got a failure, right? Then you don't need all those three big computers. You just need a smaller single computer, and all the computing is done out at the inspection site, and it. Overall cost, and they're saving probably about one dirt, 33%. That is a good guess.
Hmm. Yeah. So taking a distributed approach to process,
absolutely.
That central server requirement.
Yep.
Yeah. And deploying the deep learning right at the edge just means that you only have to transfer, you know, the result
right
back to the process controller or whatever. So
that's right.
They
see an error, and then they send the pictures of the error, and then everybody gets excited. The line shuts down. Well, you know, but you know, that's manufacturing. It's we keep getting better and better at this manufacturing, and I believe that this AI and distributed computing is going to allow for a lot more complex applications to be solved. We're just at the beginning of this.
Yeah, I know there's a big trend towards trying to make, you know, say 10 years ago, you know, if you're going to deploy deep learning and machine vision, you may need a data scientist or someone to deploy it. And now a lot of the machine vision software companies are trying to, facilitate deploying deep learning by providing, you know, ready-to-go tools.
Yeah,
they're a little easier to use and more accessible to people, you know, on the factory floor.
That's exactly right.
I've heard it's still very important, regardless what type of AI you're using, deep learning in your machine vision application, to train your staff.
Oh, you have to
be aware of what it is and how it works. But what they're saying is, instead of if there's an anomaly or something that the system isn't catching, it's easy for a human to go in and retag the image as, you know, flawed or faulty,
right? And
to update the model.
Yep.
To get better results.
Yeah, it's it helps when you have good operators and you train them properly. It just makes the entire manufactured process work much, much better.
Yeah, and it's kind of another one of those things that dispels. I mean, if robots were kind of the real thing, but the real focus of it, but it kind of helps dispel that notion of you know, automation's going to take my job. No, AI is only as good as, you know, the model it's trained on, and keeping a human in the loop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've had our cameras used on a lot of robots, for example, for positioning. And so they sell the camera and the software, and they've told me that that particular customer has told me that they really, really appreciate a good robotic operator, because the last thing you want, happening, which has happened, is when the camera says the wrong data back to the software, and the software says, okay, go here, and you've just wiped out the entire door for Mercedes.
Yeah, no good.
That's when everybody gets real excited.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get a call Saturday night going, do you have an extra one of these cameras? Because it's not working anymore.
Doug, well, one of the things that you mentioned earlier that I wanted to follow up on is you mentioned, and not to make this, you know, overly promotional for NVIDIA or anything, but I think about processing power and some of the advancements that have been made in tools like these GPUs. Like GPUs have, you know, some of these larger GPUs now are massive. They're huge.
And
you know, you're going to have a custom case for it and cooling and all this. But then there's these Jetson line of products that are small and relatively low power that are adequate for most or many anyway deep learning AI type applications. What are some different and I'll just say that it's cool to see, right? Because for your customers to be able to solve certain problems, it's required the advancement of multiple technologies, not just camera or sensor or lighting or robotics. There's a lot of different things coming together.
Yes,
you know, the computing aspect of it. How have advancements from, you know, NVIDIA and others in the industrial computing world helped?
Well, it's certainly helped our company in the fact that it gives us a bigger market to go after, more complex applications. And we're not just stopping on the Xavier model. We're going to go to the next platform. You know, we have a 3.2 megapixel camera and a 5 megapixel that is hooked in the Jetson models, but we're coming out with a 16 meg shortly, because I've noticed, you know, in the last 20 years I've been in this industry, it's always, well, you know what, I want more data. I want more data because I'm gonna make sure that my manufacturing process and all the details are spot on. And in order to do that, I've gotta get more pixels onto the object I'm looking at so that I can get more data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more processing needed to process a 16 megapixel signal coming back than a 5 megapixel.
Sure.
And it's not just 3x. It's more than that.
You know.
So we're pushing to come out with newer models, and especially with the Jetson platform, because you're right. Relatively speaking, it's somewhat low power.
Yeah.
All right. And in our case, you don't have to cool it.
Yep.
I mean, that's one of the side things that people will sometimes complain about. It's you know, this thing is this camera here sounds pretty big. Well, we don't cool it, so you need something big in order to wick the heat away.
Right.
And then we do a lot of thermal analysis when we're designing the cameras.
Yeah. It's big, but it won't melt.
Well, that's true. That's right. You can grab it, and it's not going to, you know, not going to burn your hand.
Right.
They really don't like fans on the manufacturing floor.
No, they hate it. They hate
it.
Yeah.
Forced convection is not ideal.
Nope.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to the next 10 years with all this new information and the new products coming out and new software especially. So it's going to solve a lot of manufacturing problems.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. A lot of people that are deploying edge learning, they're finding just new applications that they couldn't solve before. You know, like you said with the paper and the lumber, natural products are really tricky for traditional machine vision tools.
Yes,
because you know, it could be fine, but it doesn't look, they don't all look the same. There's natural variation, so it's hard to quantify a defect.
Yeah.
And that's where the deep learning really comes in.
Oh, yeah, it is. And it's, you know, you look at those rolls of paper, I mean, they're flying by and they're somewhat discolored. So is that bad? Does it have too much water in it?
Yeah.
It's beyond me. That's why I let my customer figure those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them
the tools to solve it.
Yeah, I give them the tools to solve the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and I do learn a lot from my customers. They'll tell me, you know, this is how it's working. I say, well, okay, cool. I mean, you know, I do have a degree in engineering, but this is, it's a little bit over my head what you're telling me. So.
Yeah, one other thing I wanted to ask, Doug, I don't want to take too much of your time here at the show, obviously, but maybe it's an obvious one, right? But it comes up a lot in these conversations, and you see it out there on people's websites and so on, is the term and sort of the idea of ease of use. It yeah. seems to be, and maybe that's mostly on the software. It's probably mostly on the software side, right?
Yes.
But it's the idea of making a lot of these tools more accessible to somebody who is not an engineer but works on a plant floor that can quickly run a program, troubleshoot a program, things like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
How are you seeing ease of use drive, let's say, like, you know, increased automation adoption?
Well, it is driving it because you want the line workers to be more autonomous. Mm-hmm. You want them to solve the problem. They're dealing with it every day. And the last thing you want is, okay, shut down and then let's wait for the engineer who's in the, you know, up in the home office to come down and fix it. You don't want that. You want the line worker to solve the problem. I have a customer that made using a couple of our cameras, made a replay unit. It's a pretty high speed, putting sleeves on this product, and sometimes it gets jammed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't keep calling the engineer out to fix it, the line workers do it. And so he did the replay, and the line worker looks at it slow-mo, goes, got it. And he goes out and fixes it. And that's what you want. It's more efficient for the manufacturing line.
I mean, ultimately, you're saving money.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, minimize downtime.
Yep.
So, okay. John, anything else to ask, or Doug, anything that we haven't asked about that you want to bring up that you're particularly excited about in the industry or the general market?
No, just general market. It's we keep going after more and more complex problems, and in itself is going to make manufacturing easier, faster, and no matter what you're making. And that's what's pretty exciting.
Very cool. Well, Doug, thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, again, thanks for having me here. All right.
Of course, yeah, it's been our pleasure. So it's www.manufacturing-matters.com if you have questions or comments or want to reach out about joining a future podcast. To learn more about Bommer, you can go to bommer.com or find him on LinkedIn, obviously. If you have questions for Doug, feel free to reach out to us. We'll pass them along to Doug. And thank you so much for watching.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Doug.